Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Jack, thank you. Friends, keep that up and in front of you, won't you? We've reached the end of our time in Colossians. We've been in Colossians for about 8 weeks now. And today is our final sermon. We're going to be moving on to something else next week, obviously for the Bring a Friend, and then the week after that as well. Won't you join me? I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask for God's help as we come to His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the Bible. And Lord, as we read it this morning, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would be at work, that these words would come to us afresh, and that You would make us alive because of them, as we seek to live for You in this world. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. One of the first jobs that I ever had when I left university was at a place called J.P. Morgan. It's a merchant bank in the middle of the city of London, actually. And look, it sounds impressive, but actually at this job, all I would do from day to day is I would sit behind a desk and I would take meaningless, really, to me, financial data, and I would sit and I would just kind of enter it into the PC that I had on my desk. From morning to night, I would just sit and do that. And as I sat there, after about 6 months of doing this, I remember thinking, and my heart kind of dropped in despair as I thought this. I thought, so that's what you do with your life, Dorian. You sit and you enter numbers into a PC. Now, friends, as I thought that, I found myself caught right in the middle of the teaching which Paul was trying to rebuke as he took on these false teachers in Colossae. They were teaching, you see, they were teaching the secular spiritual divide. So spiritual things are important. Religious observance, religious legalism, spiritual experience, but the financial data, the workplace, the photocopier breaking down, the printer, whatever it was, that everyday stuff that happens in the workplace is of very little importance at all. And this is what I never understood. Can we see Colossians 3 verse 23? We looked at this verse last week, but will you look at it again? This is what I never got hold of. Verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. I spoke to some non-Christian parents of a 16-year-old girl towards the beginning of this year. And they said to me that she'd stopped working at school. She'd gone to one of these Christian camps, and it was a good camp, but I think on this camp there weren't such great leaders. And she'd come home, and she'd stopped working, and she said, I just want to do evangelism. That's what she said. And she saw no point in doing her schoolwork. And these parents were very much relieved when I showed them this verse, and I said, could you please quote to her Colossians 3:23? Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Whatever you do, right throughout the day. And I have to say, in my time at J.P. Morgan, I don't think I ever made the connection between the work that I did and the fact that it was for the Lord I served. Whatever I did. Question. Have you? Do you think that coming here on a Sunday morning is more important than what you're going to do tomorrow when you get to the office or wherever it is at 9 a.m. Have you made that connection in the workplace or in the rest of life? I mean, I just tried to get through the work so that I could get to church to do what I thought was the important stuff, the church stuff. And you know, friends, that it made Monday morning incredibly uninspiring because I didn't do it for the Lord. Now, by contrast, it's very striking to see. I don't know if you've been following the World Cup, but this is a chap. His name is Alisson Becker. Not Alisson, Alisson, I believe. Alisson Becker. He's the Brazilian goalkeeper. And just prior to the World Cup, actually, he wrote a lovely article. It's in the Players' Tribune. And he really, in that article, opened up about his faith. And he finished off and he said this. He said, "I'm a man of faith. Many people know that. Faith is not something that can be seen or even put into words. It is more powerful than just a feeling of emotion or a slogan. It is the complete trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I think of this," he said, "I think of this every time I go to play. And so I play for him." Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that wonderful? And so Becker makes it clear in that article that Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord and not for men," was true for him. And as a result of that, isn't this striking? As a result of that, you may have heard of Connor Bradley. He's a Liverpool teammate of Becker. He says he's such a wonderful goalkeeper, the best in the world in my opinion. And I so admire how he translates his strong faith into his everyday life. And so Becker has played and lived so well that in turn it gets people talking. That's what it does. Why is this man such a fine man? And he then points to the Lord Jesus. And friends, it's so attractive, isn't it? It's so attractive when we come across someone who is authentically and consistently Christian. It really is. And I guess the question is, how? How do I live an authentic Christian life so that people see it in me? So that in all that I do, I am consistently working for the Lord and not for men. And listen, Paul tells us how in verses 2 to 6. These two things. Can we see as we look at our Bibles? How do we live a consistent Christian life? Number one, talk to God about people. And number two, talk to people about God. So, look, those are my two headings this morning. So number one, how do we keep Jesus Christ central to what I do at home, at the workplace, or wherever? Talk to God about people. Can we see verse 2 as we look down? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So do you see the start of verse 2? Devote yourselves to prayer. Now, devote yourself has the sense of dedication, you know, the sense of an athlete training for the Olympic Games or whatever it is. Get focused, dedicated to your goal, commit yourself, be serious about it, give yourself to it. May I ask you this morning, is prayer in your diary? Is it? Devote yourself. How much time does it get? Devote yourself. Is it going to go into your diary for this coming week? Devote yourself. Or you're going to line it up and say, I'll make time for that. I'll do it. I'll make time. The great preacher Spurgeon wrote the following words: "Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church." Devours your strength and mine, the neglect of prayer. Now, friends, again, if that depresses you somewhat, and often I think as one speaks of prayer, and maybe you've been a Christian many years, and you just sigh and you think, oh dear, I'm so bad at it. I never really get to it. And when I do, oh, it's just so difficult. I love the words of Bishop Alf Stanway, who said this. He says, prayer is the last thing that we learn. So don't give up. And if I could commend this book to you, it's called The Valley of Vision, a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions. And I want to say to you this morning that this little book has really helped my prayer life. And you can order it on Amazon, but if you're happy with the digital version, I can send that to you on email. Just come and talk to me afterwards. What this book is all the best prayers that the Puritans wrote. And I found this wonderful for my prayer life as I kind of learn from their reflection on God and their reflection on His Word. And in a sense, pray their prayers with them. So can I commend this little book to you? Verse 2, as we look at our Bibles. And now, what am I to pray as I pray? Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful. Why have I got to be watchful? Well, I've got to be watchful because, and let's just flip back to Ephesians chapter 2 to see this. I'll also put it on the screen so you can see it there. Why must I be watchful? Friends, because there are enemies on the loose. Let's see what the problem is for these dear people that I must pray for. Verse 1 of chapter 2, Ephesians. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live. And now can you see the trinity of evil that I've got to pray against here? Sin, the world, and the devil. So I'll carry on reading. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. So can you see the three sources of evil that I must give myself to pray against in the lives of my non-Christian friends? The first is the ways of this world. Let's pray that actually our friends, as they hear us say, I thank God, the creator of all things, who gives us each breath, that our friends, that our colleagues, that our neighbors, that our family will see the rightness of that rather than want to suppress it. Let's pray against that. Secondly, can we see as we look at those verses again, verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Well, as we look at this, can I say that there's going to be a walkout? Because, friends, this is so offensive. Someone's going to walk out because this tells me that there is no such thing as human freedom. That actually my dear non-Christian friend or colleague is being led by the nose by the devil. I'm either a slave to Christ or I have spiritual blindness and the devil leads me forward and leads me into the fire of hell. That's what the Bible says. People have spiritual cataracts on their eyes. That is why they're absolutely blind to spiritual things. The devil is called the God of this age. All they can see, our friends and our colleagues, is the house, the holiday, the job, the relationship, the kids, whatever it is, the home loan. They can't see beyond that. And that's because they are spiritually blind. And dear friend, I've got to pray that their blind eyes are opened. And how does that happen? How are their blind eyes open? By Christ being preached. As Christ is preached, my blind eyes are open to eternity as I recognize Jesus for who he is. And the devil is banished. The third place for prayer, can we see verse 3? All of us also lived among them at one time. Do you see it there? Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. The third problem is that I actually live to gratify my own sinful cravings. When I see that verse, I think of some of my non-Christian friends at my time at university. And as I sought to bring the gospel to them, why would they not become Christians time and time again? It's not that they couldn't believe the gospel. It's that they wouldn't, because they weren't going to give up sleeping with their girlfriends. That was the issue. They knew that to come to Jesus Christ meant to actually adopt and follow his standards. And many of them said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop sleeping around, gratifying the cravings of their sinful nature. And we are praying that our friends, our colleagues, will have a law court experience, a law court experience. So the Holy Spirit will convict them and they'll see the wrongness of the way that they live, no matter what the culture says. It's interesting, being in my 50s now, and look, you wouldn't say it if you looked at me, would you? But being in my 50s, And I had a university friend who's been a very successful guy in business. He's so successful, lamenting the other day about the destruction and carnage that's in the lives of some of the guys who were in our friendship group at university, and saying to me, although he is not a Christian, he said, "Dorian, they need to become Christians, these guys. Otherwise, they're not going to have a value system to sustain relationships." He's not far from becoming a Christian, is he, that man? He's certainly beginning to see their need for it, and indeed his own. So, be watchful. Pray against that trinity of evil. Will you do that? And here's the next thing to pray for. For spiritual hunger in your friends and in your family and in your colleagues. You're praying, "Lord, please, please, Lord God, make them hungry. Open their blind eyes. Please." You know, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking we're beseeching God. We're on our knees and we say, "Please, Lord." They're walking towards a cliff edge. And you're saying, I don't want them to go there because I love them. Please, Lord God, get in their way. May they come to know Jesus. That's the kind of thing I'm praying for my friends. Open their blind eyes. We've got to be on our knees to pray. Will you devote yourself to prayer? And what especially do I pray for? What especially do I pray? Can we turn back to the passage in Colossians? What am I to pray? Colossians 4, verse 3. Do you see what Paul says? And he says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should." Isn't this wonderful to be praying this? Because what we've been taught to do here is to pray that as people come here as gospel preachers, as I come as a gospel preacher, that I will proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now, do you know what the mystery of Christ is? As we look at the context of Colossians and Ephesians, what that means is that Christ is for everyone. It's for all people. It's not just for the Jews. It's for everyone. And it's most striking, isn't it, that Paul, who is in prison, prays not for the door of the prison to be opened, but he prays that the door will be opened for the gospel. I often think that if I were in prison, I'd be saying, "Lord, please open the door of the prison. I want to see my mommy again," you know. But Paul prays that the gospel still goes out. And then he prays, "Lord, that I can present it clearly." So I'm saying again, will you pray for me this week? Will you do that? Will you pray for those leaders who are coming to teach our children in the holiday club this week, to teach them the Bible, to teach them about Jesus? Will you pray that we would preach Christ clearly, and that the devil does not keep people blind, that their sin will be exposed, that a door is open for the gospel, and that the children who come along, that our friends, our colleagues, our family members, who perhaps you will invite even next Sunday, that those people will be spiritually hungry, hungry to hear. What a great prayer to pray. And I think let's pray for courage too. Will you do that? Let's pray for the courage that Paul had to ask people, to invite them to hear. "Lord, please, please make me brave so that I can ask them and make them spiritually hungry." So that's the first thing, talking to God about people. But secondly, talking to people about God. And someone said to me as we chatted about this passage earlier this week, he said, "We are always proclaiming the gospel, whether we are speaking or not." And can you see it in this passage here as we look at it, that thinking is presumed? Verse 5, have a look. "Be wise. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody." You see, here's the striking thing. It is presumed that verse 5, by the wisdom of our behavior, and verse 6, by the warmth of our conversation, that our lives will cause others to ask questions. So just by the way that we live, other people will say, well, she is such a remarkable woman to work with. He's such a, what a wonderful privilege it is spending time with him. Why is he like that? You know, I worked with a colleague once, and I laugh, but it's sad, really. And she was a Christian, and she really didn't pull her weight at work. She left as soon as she could every day. You know, it hadn't even 5 o'clock, and she's out of there. You know what I mean? And on top of that, whenever there was a criticism made of her at work, she perceived it as a spiritual attack on her. And she did such great damage to the gospel, let me tell you, in that workplace. And Paul says, be the exact opposite, verse 5. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Take every opportunity to do good, to show kindness, to look to the interests of others, and to stand for fairness and justice. Pray each morning, Lord, as you get up and you have your coffee and you're sitting there, you're kneeling by your bedside, pray. Say, please, Lord, make me wise. Help me to take the opportunities that come my way. And then verse 6, by gracious, loving conversation, by understanding conversation, pray that the questions will come as a result of the way that we live. So let me finish there. Can we see? How is our prayer life going? Talk to God about people. Secondly, when we invite people, even this next week to the Holiday Club, talk to people about God. Will we seek to live lives that are godly? Will we seek lives that are to live lives that are full of wisdom, that are looking to serve? And as we do that, dear friends, let's pray that actually they prompt gospel conversations. Let's pray that that would be true. Let's pray together now. Won't you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Well, is there one thing from what's been said to take into the week ahead? Just one thing, just something to chew on in the days ahead. What is it? Call it to mind. Father God, thank you so much for the Bible. Please, Father, help us to have a real love for our non-Christian friends and family and colleagues so that we really do fight this battle for them as we see them blind and in bondage to sin. And then, Father, we do pray that you would give us courage to live wisely and to use every opportunity to speak words of life into our conversations. And we pray this for the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.